Good morning. This is an extra full Lord's Day morning for us, the family here at Cedar Park. We anticipated this. We knew about this. And I can tell you we look forward to this day. All the visitors that we have, we're delighted that you're here. So many here for a camp, for junior high kids. And we're encouraged by your presence and excited about things that are in store for you this week. Parents and grandparents who brought you. Somebody that was paid to bring you, and it's good. It's good that we're all here together. If you're a visitor, though, and you're not connected to the camp that's to come in any sort of way, maybe this is the first time for you in this community, I say to you, we're excited. I'm surely glad that you are here. We are not, again, normally this full. But we want to get to meet you and know something more about you. And if you are a visitor today, this morning from this community, please stay around. Find me or someone that's connected to this local family because we want to meet you. We want to greet you. And we say, especially to you this morning, welcome. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, please, in your Bible. That's the first book in the New Testament. The book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And in chapter 16, let's begin in the text. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and in verse 21. Reading from the New King James Version, Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus, Matthew 16, 21, began to show to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem. That He must suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and that He must be killed. But He would be raised again the third day. And so Peter, verse 22, took Jesus aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Jesus turned and He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, Peter, because you are not mindful of the things of God. You're only mindful of the things of men." It's interesting here that Jesus would have Peter to know that there cannot be a crossless Christ. But now Jesus will turn to His disciples in verse 24. And say some things to them because as He would have Peter to understand there cannot be a crossless Christ, He now must have His disciples to appreciate there cannot be a crossless follower of Christ. And so Jesus says to His disciples, verse 24, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake," Jesus says, "will find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I want us to key in again on verse 24. Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Jesus talks here about discipleship. And at the core of being a disciple, we're talking about literally someone who is a learner or, again, someone who follows another's teaching. And so when we're talking about a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're talking about a learner and follower of Jesus Christ. But it goes deeper than that. Please understand, we're talking about the individual and we're describing the kind of person here that wants to listen to Christ with a desire to learn more about Christ so that he or she might begin to live for Christ. You see, discipleship is about listening to and learning from Jesus with a deep desire to live like Jesus. But our title slide said something about daily discipleship. This concept of daily is important. It's critical because discipleship, as Jesus describes it and defines it, is a discipline. It's a decision. It's a one day at a time, everyday kind of decision to live for Christ. To live like Christ. You know, we sing songs with words in them like, "Each day I'll do a golden deed." Or songs like, "Just a closer walk with Thee." "Granted, Jesus, this my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be." It's a daily kind of commitment that affects our decisions and controls our duties for that day. Think of some of the language in some of the New Testament passages. The book of Acts speaks about those Jews in Berea who were more noble-minded than those Jews in Thessalonica. And it describes these Jewish Bereans and their kind of attitude and disposition with regards to them receiving the Word with great eagerness and searching the Scriptures daily. Peter and other apostles, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, we are told that daily they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says you are to encourage one another daily. And you do this on a consistent basis because we don't want anyone in the body of Christ to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, this is an each day I'll do kind of living. This is an each day kind of thinking that controls our living. It's a consistent practice to those things that will make us more like Jesus and stronger disciples daily. Consistent practice. But what if encouragement, rather than daily or regularly, what if encouragement is given only once a month? Does that help anyone bear burdens? Does that help any in the body of Christ to deal with sin and its deceitfulness? What if we only feed ourselves spiritually once a week? Can we really expect to grow? If we only search the Scriptures when it's our time to teach a Bible class, will we really be prepared to deal with error? And if we speak of Christ, if I speak of Christ only when it's convenient, who's going to have the opportunity to hear and believe? Jesus says, "My disciples think about these things on a regular basis. Make these things a part of their lives and who they are, not just in a convenient season and not just every once in a good while." And so it's no wonder that Luke's narrative gives us this text in Luke 9 and verse 23 where Jesus says, "If anyone wants to come after me, wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Three quick points this morning with regards to daily discipleship. Very quick points about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. First of all, did you notice that Jesus says or speaks about desire? He says in Matthew 16 and 24, "If anyone desires to come after me." And what Jesus would have us to appreciate is this is a conscious choice that everyone makes. But the will to or the want to must first be there. One of the reasons you have those who are not denying themselves and taking up their cross daily to follow Jesus is because the want to was never there. The strong desire to be more like Jesus, the strong desire to listen and to learn from Jesus was never really there. Discipleship is something that we choose. But the question this morning for all of us, for me, is have you decided to follow Jesus? We're going to sing a song by way of encouragement. At the end of the lesson this morning, I have decided to follow Jesus. Is that your decision? I pray that it is. One of the verses in that song, I have decided to follow Jesus, intrigues me. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful verse with these words. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Listen, it's pretty easy to think right and do right in an assembly like this. 400 plus people. But soon we leave this assembly and we dismiss ourselves from this gathering, and we go out into a world that's radically different from the environment in this place. You go to work on Monday, and it's different from the assembly on Sunday. You go to your job on Monday, and it's different from the assembly on Sunday. And you go to a camp, and while that is a great environment and very conducive to spiritual growth, others who care about learning from Jesus, who want to follow Jesus, those who will be teaching you about Jesus. But I'm telling you, junior high, young people, the camp will end. And you'll go back into your neighborhood. And you'll go back on the ball field, where you're surrounded by so many, if not most, whose decision is different from yours. And Jesus wants to know, have you already made up your mind that even though others are uninterested, no one else will follow? Will you, Jesus asks, still follow me? The desire must be there to be His disciple. Number two, Jesus says again, now if the desire is there to come after me, then here's something you must do. Please be advised, Jesus said he must deny himself. And what Jesus is saying is this is essential. Self-denial is absolutely essential. Without it, you cannot be my disciple. I'm afraid sometimes we have this idea that, well, if I'm not practicing self-denial, I'm a bad disciple. I'm a weak disciple. No, Jesus says you're not a disciple at all. You must deny yourself. But this denial speaks about surrender. And the point that Jesus is making is you must surrender your will to the will of Christ. You must surrender your way to the way of Christ. It is no longer this way of thinking and living that is controlled by self. Self is not on the throne. Christ is on the throne. What I want and what pleases me is no longer of interest as a follower of Christ. It's all about Christ. In the language of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. This is a struggle. The struggle comes, please understand, when we find that our will, when I find that my will is in conflicts with the will of Christ. A preacher was telling me not long ago about something that happened to him. He said he was driving and he came to a traffic light and he pulled right up behind an old van covered with bumper stickers. He said he started looking at all these bumper stickers with all of the nasty words and the double entendre. And he said, as I began to look at these, he said, I started thinking, I'm so glad that my kids are not with me. He said, you know, the last thing I wanted was for my three-year-old from the back seat say, Daddy, what does that mean? And he said, the more I read, the madder I got. He said, right there on the back of that bumper sticker was a big bumper sticker that said, God is dead. Deal with it. I mean, what do you say to somebody like that? He said, and then he noticed on the bottom right-hand corner was a bumper sticker that read, if it feels good, do it twice. If it feels good, do it twice. He said he thought about pushing the accelerator and just ramming that van from behind twice. And when the driver turned around to confront him, he'd roll down his window and say, it felt good. That's the world that we live in. A world that's consumed by self. And how self begins to sit there for a length of time and think and justify in his own mind, surely the Lord's okay with this. Because of that. I mean, this is what I'd really like to do right now. This is how I feel in the moment. This is what I think. And that just describes the world in which we live. And this sin-sick world can saturate the church at times, often without times without us noticing, and we become so more concerned by self and ruled by self than we are Christ. Jesus said, you can't be my disciple unless you surrender yourself to me. And that's a call to live as Jesus lived. But hear me one last thing on this point. When we're talking about living as Jesus lived, it's not possible to live as Jesus lived until we first think the way Jesus thought. And Jesus thought about others. And Jesus' thoughts centered on the will of His Father, regardless of the cost. And so that leads us into the point three about absolute devotion. Hear again the text. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, surrender his will to my will. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. This taking up your cross kind of language, people would think of death. They would think of sacrifice. They would think of service. But regardless of the cost. One of the things I believe that Jesus wants us to appreciate, being honest with us, with me, is discipleship is not cheap. It involves sacrifice. And so Jesus says it's a daily decision to take up your cross, to make whatever sacrifice is necessary for me and for my cause. And then it's a decision to keep on, is the thrust of that, to keep on following me. We sing a song, To Christ Be True. And one of the verses in that song, To Christ Be True, says, To Christ be loyal and be true. In noble service prove your faith, your fidelity, the fervor of your love. To Christ be loyal. in noble service, prove, and one of the things he says is your fidelity. We understand loyalty. That's the idea of being devoted. Fidelity is always what? Faithful. Jesus can count on me. He can rely on me. He can trust me to say what He said, to preach what He preached, to live how He lived. He can trust me. Because He knows I'm loyal first to Him. We think about loyalty and we think about devotion. And isn't it easy sometimes for us to think in terms of most of the time? I mean, I do pretty well with this loyalty kind of thing. I mean, I'm doing pretty well with this discipleship thing. I mean, the Lord comes first in my life most of the time. I mean, I'm loving less, as Jesus said. I'm loving less my brother and sister. And even mom and dad, as hard as that is, those relationships don't come before my relationship with Christ. And so I'm loving less brother and sister or mom and dad. But I tell you, this loving less my husband or my wife, that's pretty tough. And so, you know, if we're grading on a curve here, I'm doing pretty well with this discipleship thing most of the time. I do pretty well with greed and covetousness. Oh, I have my bad days. But I give generously for the cause of Christ. And I have a grip on materialism most of the time. I've been paying attention to my character and making sure it's more like Christ most of the time. Let me ask you some questions. What if your car started most of the time? What if your boss paid you most of the time? I've gotten your attention now. What if your heart beat most of the time? Suddenly, most of the time's not too appealing, is it? Suddenly, most of the time, just won't cut it. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that Jesus teaches us that we earn our way into heaven, that we do enough good deeds and we get it right all the time, and now He owes us the promised inheritance. That's not what I'm teaching. That's not what Jesus taught. But I am wanting us to see, and I'm convinced that Jesus was wanting His disciples to see the difference between following Christ out of convenience and following Christ from an absolute commitment. There is a difference between some of self and all of self. And so what about you this morning? Check your desire. Do you really want to be a follower of Jesus? Do you really want to be like Jesus? Do you really want to check your desire? Number two, check your denial. Are you willing to surrender control of yourself to Jesus Christ and to His will and His Word? And number three, check your devotion. Are you faithful and loyal to Christ and His cause regardless of the cost? If you're like me, you creep into the gas station to fill up with gas when your tank is almost empty. You're running on fumes. You pull in the filling station. It's not a play station. It's not a rest station. It's a filling station because you fill your tank up with gas. And you fill your car up with gas so that now you can go where you need to go in order to do what you need to do. You fill up. You fill up so you can go where you need to go to do what you need to do. We come together in assemblies like this. And when we come together to worship deity, to ascribe honor and praise to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, we need to fill ourselves so full of God that we're motivated now to go out into a dark, sinful world and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Where is it that you need to go this week in following Jesus that can't wait another week? Where is it that you need to go this week in following Jesus that cannot wait another week? And what is it that you need to do this week as a disciple of Jesus that cannot wait another week? Have you decided to follow Jesus? There may be someone here this morning who's made that decision, but you haven't by faith acted upon that. You believe that Jesus was who He said He was, the Christ of God, and that only your sins can be forgiven through and by His blood. You're convinced of that, but have you yielded in faith your will to Christ? Have you responded to the good news, the hope of the gospel, that Jesus can save you and wants to save you? Let today be the day of your salvation, where you come in penitence and in faith, confessing Jesus as the Christ, turning from your sins and being immersed in water, baptized in order to have your sins washed away. You can leave today saved by and through His blood, following Him. If there's someone here this morning that has not been a devout, true follower of Jesus, turn from that, repent of that, and rededicate and commit your life to Jesus, the one who died for you. If we can help you spiritually this morning, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Encouraged by all of our visitors. We have quite a few of you here with us.